Okay, good morning, all. A very special day, beginning Masechta Shkalim. My Rebbe always used to say that if you're learning something that has to do with right now, then you know you're doing the right thing in terms of the calendar cycle. So we are about to start Masechta Shkalim, which of course now is the time when back in the day, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they'd be collecting Shkalim. We'll see in a second that they began to collect the Shkalim. It really was a half shekel. We know we just read the Parsha a couple of weeks ago. And so they used to collect the half shekel starting from the beginning of Adar, going to the end of Adar, to up until Nisan. They would collect these Shkalim in order to serve as a fund to provide the karbonos, the sacrifices, the communal offerings throughout the year. So let's just begin. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, the first chapter over here, the first Mishnah. So Be'echad Ba'adar Mashmien Ala Shkalim. On the first of Adar, they would have like messengers of the court. They would go out and start announcing in all of the Jewish communities that it's time to give in your shkalim. And when we say shkalim, it's interesting because we know it's a half shekel, but seemingly it would seem that the use of the word half shekel was not really used. It was really, they were just referred to as shkalim, and a full shekel was referred to as a sela. So they would send out messengers on the first of Adar from the court to announce that it's time to give in your shkalim for the year. Ve'ala kilayim. They would also make announcements about kilayim, right? Kilayim. That's a mixed produce, right, that grows together. So we don't allow that. It's a prohibition from the Torah to allow two types of produce to grow together and then to be mixed together. And so they would make the announcement at this time, because this is when the time starts, when various produce would start to be sprouting from the ground. And you would know if you have two produces that are next to each other, you would see that you would have kilayim, and then you would have to get rid of it. So they would announce that at this time as well. So b'chamisha asarbo, on the 15th of Adar, Koren, it's 2 days from now, Koren is a Megillah b'krak, and that's when they would read the Megillah in the walled cities, right? Most other places in the world are not considered walled cities, so we read on the 14th, but in the walled cities, they would read on the 15th. What else happened on the 15th of Adar? Well, the court would go out and begin to repair some of the roads and the various marketplaces, right? So these were all sort of destroyed and ruined very often from the winter months, so now it's ostensibly it's the beginning of the spring, so that's when they would begin to repair these areas. That's the mikvahs hamayim. They would also begin to repair the mikvahs. They would have to take out mud and dirt from the mikvahs that were, you know, they were essentially just pools that collected with water. So many times mud would fill them. They didn't have the nice mikvahs that we have nowadays. So that's when they would start to clean them out and fix them if necessary. And they would do anything else that the rest of the congregation, the rest of the people needed. They would take care of it. Now essentially is the time where the biblical year ends, right? We say that the beginning of the year is Rosh Hashanah around Tishrei time. But from the Torah standpoint, the beginning of the year is Nisan. So they would try to take care of all these things at the end of the biblical year, at the end of Adar. Mitzainen es ha-kvaros, they would also mark all the graves at this point. They would mark it with some line to sort of go around the area of the grave. The reason why they had to do this was because seemingly sometimes the rain from the winter months, that would sometimes wash out the demarcations of a grave. If they did that, then a Kohen who was walking down the street wouldn't know where the graves are, and therefore he would walk in them and become tummy. So we don't want that, so therefore they would remark them at this point. V'yotzen af ala kilayim. And they would even go out and inspect the fields, and seemingly this is the messengers of the court, they would go out to inspect the fields for various potential spots of growths of kilayim, and if they saw it, they would then rip it out from there. And so you'd say, I don't understand, they just made an announcement 15 days ago, why are they going out to inspect? Well, the answer is that people didn't listen. They would make the announcement on the first of Adar to check, make sure you don't have kilayim. People would not answer, so then they would go around on the 15th of Adar and they would start inspecting, making sure no one had it. Mishnah Beis. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Barishona hayu okrin umashlichen lifnam. So regarding this whole practice of going out to inspect the field with kilayim, so Rabbi Yehuda says at the beginning, what would they do? They would uproot the kilayim that they found in people's fields, and they would throw it down in front of the fields, in front of the field's owners, in order to sort of embarrass them and say, listen, look at you, you let kilayim grow in your field, you're a terrible person, and hopefully this shaming will then convince them to never do it again. Well, what happened? Well, obviously, people weren't always as responsive as they thought they might be. So Misharabu Ovri Avera, when the number of people who were sinners increased, right, they did not listen to even this public showing from the messengers of the court. So how you okrin mashlichan al derachim, the messengers of the court, they would uproot the kilayim produce And they would throw it onto the roads so that they wouldn't even be able to benefit from it, because when they did it the first time, they would uproot it and put it right in front of the owners, and they'd say, oh great, I'll feed this food to my animals. So now they sell it, and now you can't even use this food for your animals, I'm going to throw it into the road. And then eventually, even that did not work, so what happened? His kino she yehu mafkir kol hasada kula. So the basin has the ability to announce that something is hefker, or just to announce that something is ownerless. So what would they do? The basin, the courts would send these messengers to the people who had kilayim in their fields, and they would declare their field ownerless, which is obviously not good. If you were going to make money off this field, now you no longer own it. It's not a good situation. So that made people wake up. When they declared it when they would declare it ownerless, people said, oh man, I guess I do need to take care of my kilayim, otherwise the court's going to do this to all my fields. So they at that point, they began listening, and then they began to take care of the kilayim on their own. But at this point, on the 15th of Adar, that's when they would go out and begin to say that various fields are ownerless if they found kilayim in it. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Beis. God willing, tomorrow we will continue with Mishnah Gimel.